Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I would like to greet you to this quarterly presentation, this time a little bit unusual on a Monday. I think we've started off in a pretty solid way as regards the development of sales in a rather difficult market environment and also the adjusted EBIT. And I would now like to hand over to Mr. Burkhard, who will give a short introduction on the highlights and also the market.
Yeah, good morning. Also from my side, this is Detlef Burkhard. Good morning to today's earnings call about the first quarter 2016. I would like to guide you through the agenda, which is on page number two. I will talk about the highlights in the first quarter this year and the market trends. And then the point number three and four will be covered by Wilfried Trepels, so who will talk about the financials and our outlook for 2016 in total. With this, I would like to turn your attention to page number three with the highlights of the first quarter. First of all, the first two bullet points, the targets. We have seen a burgeoning market environment in most of the emerging countries, and as most of you know, a severe truck market downturn in the US. But with this burgeoning environment, our organic sales almost reach our previous year's level. Even more and even important for us is that with this challenging market environment, our EBIT margin increased by 40 basis points and climbed to 8.7%. Our plant consolidation, our efficiency, we see the effects now from this mainly in the US, but also from the US. So these effects materialize, and we have further process optimization underway until the third quarter of this year. Regarding our strategy 2020, that's the second, the next bullet points here, our new organization structure is implemented throughout all regions now, and our reporting structure is aligned to this new organization structure. In APEC, China, we got another nice order for Corpco, another order for truck air suspension by a major customer. We got first order on that in December last year. We reported on that for a 2x4 truck, and now we also get the following order for the bigger truck, a 4x6 truck. So we will be the supplier for this bigger truck as well for the air suspensions, and this is part of the big order we got in China for Corpco. On page number four, the market trends, I will jump over that and go straight to page number five, where you see the oval look for the global truck and the global trailer market. And you can see on the right-hand side the forecasts which are available for 2016. I would like to guide you through the slide. On the first line, you see the North American Class 8 truck market development. After strong years 2014 and 2015 with all-time high in Class 8 production. You see the number from ACT with 323,000 trucks being built, which was an increase by 8.8%. This year, we see a sharp decline. Both ACT and FTR now talking about a 26% decrease this year compared with last year. So the market might go down to 236,000, 235,000 trailers. You might have in mind, when we did our budget for this year, 2016, we thought, and I would say all of the market participants thought, the market will decline by 10, maybe 12%. So with this 26%, this is a major change in the forecast. It looks much better on the European side, which is in second line. You see after a nice year 2015 with an almost 9% growth, for 2016 we might see another growth of plus 1.3% to 434,000 trucks. Personally, I believe the number will be higher, but this is a number according to LMC. On the trailer side, which is now line number three and four, first of all, North America. The North American trailer market looks better than the truck market, I would say much better. You see after a strong year 2015 with, according to ACT, almost 325,000 trailers being built, which was an increase of almost 15%. This year they see a decline of only 3% to 314,000 trailers. This
if this will happen, will be another good year for the North American trailer industry. And most of our customers of the bigger trailer OEs are already sold out until October, November this year. So it looks like the trailer market in North America is stable or almost a little bit lower than 2015. Europe, and this is, let's say, the most positive line in the forecast for our major markets, clear, the reporting an 8% growth last year to 283,000 trailers being built in Europe, and this might increase by another plus 9% to more than 300,000 trailers, which then would be a very good year for Europe. And please take into consideration these numbers are all without Russia, because the Russian market is almost dead, both for the second-hand trailer market, but also for the new trailers for the OE market. So in a nutshell, the US truck market declined significantly, much more than we thought, but please have in mind that less than 10% of the SAF Holland group sales is related to the US truck market. And US trailer market, which is also very important for us, looks quite good. And as I said earlier, will be only slightly lower than 2015. With this, I would like to go a little bit deeper in the market development in Europe and North America. On page number 6, you see the truck market development in Europe. And as you can see, when you compare the numbers 2014 with 2015, in 2015 every month was higher in new registrations than the month in the year before, and you see the same development now in 2016. All months, January, February, and March, have been higher than the first 3 months, 2015, and again, already 2015 was a good year. That means for 2016, we expect a low to mid single-digit percentage increase in the European truck production. And this was mainly driven with nice developments in the southern European markets, that's mainly Italy, France, Spain, and Portugal. On the next page, page number 7, you see the same slide, but regarding the Class 8 net orders for the North American market. And as you can see, it's just the opposite. Every month is lower than the same month the year before, significantly lower. And we see now that the net orders are down 37% year over year. Talking to our customers, that means to the truck OEs, but also to the fleets, we see that as a kind of an overreaction in the market. What we heard is that the big truck OEs, they are going to cleaning their order books, and in the markets, this means distributors and big dealers, they sell now from stock, they clean their inventory, they need to reduce their inventory, and therefore, again, we see that as a kind of an overreaction, and that will level out the next couple of months. So the market will, as we believe, will not go further down in the remaining three quarters of this year. On page number 9, I just go over 8. You see the executive summary about SAF Holland. There are 5 bullet points, starting with the number 1. As I already said, organic sales almost at prior year level in a very challenging market environment. Our group sales in the first quarter was down 4.1% to 259.9 million. And when you see that only organically, that was a decrease by 2.2%. The FX effects came in with minus 2.3 million, and the sale of our airway product line, which we sold end of last year, which was not our core business, came in for the Q1 with a level of minus 2.7 million. So both together, we are roughly at 5 million decrease in the first quarter unorganically. Copco is roughly 3 million euros behind plan, but that is due to a change in order processing and rescheduling. But we see Copco might make that up in the balance of this year, so this was mainly a weak effect in the first quarter. Bullet point number 2 about the earnings situation, or adjusted EBIT margin is well above previous year numbers. It improved by 0.1 million euro to 22.7 million, million euros last year. And this is mainly due to efficiency enhancement measures, operational excellence, and an optimized purchasing process. We got some very nice results out of our purchasing activities. The adjusted EBIT margin is now 40 basis points higher than Q1 last year. That means we reached 8.7% compared to 8.3%. We saw a significant swing in our financial result. The financial result amounted to minus 4.9 million as compared with plus 6.6 in Q1 2015. This situation is almost exclusively related to a swing in our unrealized FX gains from the valuation of intercompany foreign currency loans that had amounted to 7.4 million last year in Q1 and is compared to nothing to nil in the first quarter this year. And please take into consideration that these effects from the valuation of these intercompany foreign currency loans was previously included in the financial result and is now disclosed in the other comprehensive income called OCI. But Wilfried Trepels will talk about that later even more in detail. Bullet point number four, also this has of course an effect on our earnings per share. The reported net profit decreased by 11.1 million compared to 18.1 million last year, is mostly to this just described swing in the financial result. And that, of course, relates then to undiluted earnings per share for this one-off and intercompany loan effect to 0.27 eurocents compared to 33 eurocents last year. Our outlook for 2016, that is bullet point number five, we expect our sales organically stay constant or slightly increasing in the range of 1 billion 50 million to 1 billion 70 million euros. And the adjusted EBIT margin is planned to come in between 8 to 9% for the full year, but also on this Wilfried will elaborate later on in his speech. Coming to the business performance of the group, that's on page number 10. Here you see the numbers by quarter, and I also, as I already said on the page before, you see the overview that in Q1 2015, our sales was 271 million euros, and that is now almost 260 million, 11 million less. And you see the development by quarter. But on the earnings side, if you go to the right-hand side of this slide, you see the adjusted EBIT margin nicely increased now from 8.3% to 8.7%. And please bear in mind that our gross margin, which you cannot see on this page, improved significantly by 1.7% to 20.5%. And with this, we feel very comfortable for the remaining quarters of this year regarding our financial results. On page number 11, you see the business performance by segment and by sales channel. On the left-hand side, we see the nice increase in the European market, or Europe, Middle East, and Africa, we call it EMEA, an increase by 10 million euros to 145 million in these markets, which stands now for almost 56% of our total sales, compared with only 50% in Q1 2015. A negative development in North America, or the Americas, we have to take into account that South America and Brazil is part of that now, that we see a decline, we saw a decline of almost 15% to 100 million, and this market segment now stands for 38.6% of our sales. There's also a decrease in the APEC and China region by 17.6%, but again, we changed the invoicing system for COPCO, which is part of this APEC China, and we didn't invoice roughly 3 million euros in Q1 this year. When you see the development by a segment, by a sales channel, on the right-hand side, you see the OE market was almost stable from 204 to 196 million, stands now for 75% of our sales, as it was last year. The aftermarket declined by 3.5%. This is not coming from Europe. That's mainly due to the weak U.S. aftermarket. But I will come to that in a minute. So with this, I would like to go into the regions a little bit more in detail on page number 12. I start with the business performance in Europe, Middle East, and Africa. As I already said, sales development very nice from Q1 last year to this year, from 135 to 145 million, which is an increase of 7%. This positive trend was mainly driven by a higher demand in the OE business for all our trailer parts, axles, suspensions, etc., and a moderate economic recovery in the most European zones. Aftermarket is very solid. Also, we see a good development in the Middle East market with some further expansion behind. And we see especially Iran as one of the markets to come. Probably not this year. Everybody holds his money back in the Iran until this situation is really clear. But in the future, for 2017 ongoing, we see the Iranian market as a very nice potential to further increase our sales volume. Russia, absolutely the opposite, very weak. We see no signs of recovering. It goes even worse. The OE market is almost down. And on top of that, also the second-hand market in Russia is down. There are almost no trucks and trailers now being sold in Russia due to a new tax, which is now in place for Russia, for both for new equipment, but also for used equipment. That means, as I said, the Russian market comes almost to a standstill. And some neighboring markets like Scandinavia are negatively influenced by that as well. Very positively is our earnings situation in Europe. You see that an increase from 9% adjusted EBIT margin to 9.5%, which is a pickup of 13%. And we see this improvement mainly driven by sales growth and some trailing effects from our plant consolidation, which we did last year, and some efficiency measures in other locations within the region, and of course increase of our pooling of our purchase volumes, which also help for this very nice development. The next page, page 13, you see the business performance in the Americas. Unfortunately, not that nice than in Europe. In Q1 16, our sales declined by almost 15% to 100 million. Adjusted that for inorganic business like the FX development and the sale of our airway product line, sales declined by only 10% or 10.6% to be precise. As I said, the strong decrease of the North American truck market after an all-time high in 14 and 15, we see also a difficult development in the North American aftermarket. The fleets are too young now, and therefore there are a lot of trucks which don't need any spare parts, a lot of trailers who don't need the repairs, but this is business to come. So this is the good part of this, that all these new trucks and trailers in the market now need spare parts at least in the minimum from 2 years from now, and that will then have a very positive effect on our aftermarket sales development in North America. Brazil, as part of America, is a disaster like Russia. The market is almost 80% down versus to the pre-crisis level, and also here we see no signs of recovery. So for 2016, I would say we can forget about Russia and Brazil, as we see it so far. Mexico and Central America developed very nicely in terms of both sales and in terms of earnings. The EBIT, the earnings side, which is on the lower side of this slide, you see a nice improvement, although of this very weak environment. The EBIT margin, the adjusted EBIT margin, improved by 50 basis points to 8.3% compared to 7.8% last year. And these profitability drivers are mainly share gains in the trailer market and a swift adjustment of capacities combined with improved cost structure in our Warrington plant, which is our biggest plant in North America. With this, I would like to go to the third region, which is APEC, Asia-Pacific and China, on page number 14. you see a sales decrease of 17.6% to 14.5 million euros compared to 17.6 last year. We have a solid performance in China, yet Copco is 3 million behind plan, as I said already. We see in the most of the Asian market a pretty weak economic environment, especially Australia. The market is down. I just came back from Australia last Saturday. There was a big truck and trailer show in Melbourne, and I talked to a lot of customers, both on the truck trailer side, but also with end users. And Australia is pretty much like Russia. There's a lot of secondhand equipment available for very low prices. The OE market is pretty much down, roughly 30% compared to last year, and already last year was roughly 20% down than the year before. But the outlook for Australia is the market leveled out now. We see no further decline, and so it maybe in the second half of the year Australia will pick up. Definitely 2017 we see an increase in the Australian market. Regarding the profitability, due to this very lower sales volume in conjunction with the upfront expenses for our further business expansions, the adjusted EBIT came in with only 0.6 million euros compared with 1.2 last year, and consequently the EBIT margin now stood at 3.8% after 6.9% last year. In Xiamen, the plant is, I would say, fully loaded with nice orders, especially for trailer axles, which will be fitted to marine chassis or container chassis, as we say here in Europe, which will be imported to North America. This market is still intact, and we get very nice orders for that. So that means the American fleets spec SRF Holland axles built in China, sold to a Chinese OEs, who then sell these kind of trailers to North America. And this shows that we are able to have this to call on fleets to convince the fleet for our products, and that works in this case globally, even in China. So with this, with the overview about our business performance and the market development, I would like to hand over to Wilfried Trepels, who will talk about the financials.
Yeah, good morning. On the first slide, which I have to report on, is on page 15, and this is about the cash flow situation. So the cash flow looks quite good in the first quarter 2016, increased significantly to 22.5 million. If we compare this with the first quarter in 2015, this looks very nice. To be very clear here, we are internally not happy about the situation, and I would like to explain to you why. If you look to the numbers 2.3 to 22.5, you see 20 million better operating cash flow. And this is purely due to the fact that we got the money in from accounts receivables. Last year in Q1 2015, we are facing a significantly increase in sales, so significantly increased accounts receivables. And now in the first quarter, as Detlef already reported, we reduced sales by around about 11 million. And this is then clear that also accounts receivables go down. If you look to our cash flow statement, you will exactly see these numbers, that most of these effects are coming here from the trade receivables. If we look to the working capital, it looks quite nice in percent of sales. It's now down to 11.4%, not bad. But on the right-hand side, you see the inventories, and we are not happy about the development. Although we have reduced our stock in Europe due to the fact that we have finalized now since September last year the stocks for the plant consolidation, we are still too high with 55 days here. So what does it mean consequently? We are working on measures in all areas of the world again, and we are going to implement this tool APO. I was talking about it already last year. We are now finally getting this in place starting in June in North America. And the potential here for the whole year to reduce the inventory, the potential is above 22 million. But this is just the potential. As you might know, when you implement a new software, you will not gain immediately 100% of all potentials. So I personally believe that we can make up here round about 11 million in reduction during this year to come, probably in the fourth quarter, so later in during this year. So that's about the cash flow situation, some positive numbers, of course, but also some water into the wine for the next quarters. But, of course, with a positive outlook, because we have to work heavily on the reduction of inventories. Our internal target is 45 days, and I would be lucky if we go down to 50 over the next couple of months. Coming now to the balance sheet, which you find on the following slide on page 16, you see here our other short-term investments is 75 million. It's purely cash, which we have parked somewhere on a bank account, and we have round about 200 million cash and cash equivalents, so all overall almost 275 million in cash. If we would adjust the total assets by this excess cash, the total assets would be significantly lower, and then consequently the equity would not show a ratio of 31.8%. It would then be 44.7%. So from this perspective, regarding the development of the equity, we are okay. The net debt at the end of March is 111.5. So if we now turn to the next slide, which shows the profit and loss statement, a couple of remarks here. Detlef already talked about the sales development, and you find here the exact numbers again. And he also pointed out that we have had a very positive development on the quality of earnings. They increased from 18.8% to 20.5%, and this is mainly due to two effects. One effect is that we have been very successful in purchasing in the first step at the beginning of the year. This effect will be also sustainable during this year, and based on this positive gross profit situation, we are now also able to attack the markets with respect to gaining market shares, which will help us in sales probably not this year, but then latest beginning of next year. The second effect on the gross profit quality is, of course, the plant consolidation, that now the effects kick in from our strong work, which we have done in North America as well as in Europe. If it now comes to the SG&A development, a couple of words to the selling expenses. The selling expenses are slightly higher than last quarter, 2015, and this is due to the fact that we have cost accruals booked in the first quarter for the very important fairs. It's the Bauma in Munich, which took place in April, and the other one, the biggest one, is the IAA in Hannover, which will be in September this year. On the admin expenses, we see also an increase of around about 1 million here, and this is due to the fact that we have additional costs on board to support and lay the basis for our growth, especially in the areas of APAC, but also some in the area of Middle East. And we have added here some advisory costs and additional personnel, and give you just an example that we have officially implemented a China advisory board. It's not a supervisory board, it's more an advisory board for this area, because we believe this is so important. On the R&D, we see a slight decrease when it comes to the cost in the profit and loss statement, but if you take all costs together, we end up slightly above 6 million, and this is due to the fact that we have accrued the cost here into the balance sheet, because we have more projects. So the costs which we have capitalized are slightly higher in the first quarter than in the first quarter 2015, due to the fact that we have more projects, and if you have more projects, you have to, under IFRS, book more into the balance sheet. But overall, the R&D costs are at the same level as they have been last year. The operating result is 20.4 million, very comparable with the 20.3 million last year. From the adjusted EBIT, which came in 40 bips higher, here in the operating result you find 30 bips. The finance result, Detlef talked already in the summary about it. It's a little bit more explanation now from my side. You see here minus 4.5 million and comparable plus 6.9. We booked into the OCI in the year Q1 2016 minus 1.9, and in the year before we booked 7.4 million. So the opposite. What's behind this? If you have intercompany loans with your subsidiaries and they can be declared as a long-term investment, then the interest which has to be paid and the calculation for this can be seen as as a long-term investment and will not be handled anymore through the profit and loss statement. It will be booked in the OCI. We considered this already last year when we saw how significantly the FX situation changed our results, but during the year you can't change your accounting, so consequently we started to change this at the beginning of the year 2016. If we try now a little bit more to compare the numbers, the financial result would have been minus 4.9 in Q1 2016, considering also the other income from foreign investments, and it would have been in the first quarter 2015 minus 0.8. So the finance result is 4.1 million lower than last year, if it comes really to operational numbers. And this is due to three effects. In the derivatives and the accounting here, we are minus 1.5 million when we compare quarter to quarter. And then we have remaining some intercompany accounts receivables when it comes to dividends, and this is minus 1.8 million. And last not least, we have higher interest costs from the Schuldscheindarlehen from the promissory loan which we issued last year, and this is minus 0.9 if we compare quarter to quarter. So overall, I would say a very good development. The result for the period is 11.1 million at 4.3% in percent of sales. On the next slide, the cash flow statement, and we talked already about it, and you see the major impact here after results before tax and finance result is then, of course, the changes in net working capital. It's the fourth line from the top, and here you see almost 20 million better than last year, and it all goes down to the accounts receivable situation. The fourth line from the bottom, also some words here, cash flow from investing, that does not necessarily mean that this is purely capex. That would be interesting because we would have then here shown some de-investments. No, it shows that we have short-term investments of 40 million released into cash, and if you deduct 40 million, you have the pure number what the real capex was in the first quarter. It was minus 4.1 million compared to minus 5.6 million. Overall for the whole year, regarding the capex, we can expect that this will be around about 28 million. On the next slide, the share price development and the shareholder structure. We have now 15.3% institutional investors. The management and the board of directors still holds 1.6%. On the following slides, we talk about the outlook. Page 20 covers the headline, and then 21 is the content. And what you can see here on the one hand side is our full year 2016 as we expect, as it should come in, and compared with our strategy 2020. When it comes to sales, we have set a range here of 1.05 billion to 1.07 billion. And we believe that we will come here at the end of the year in at the lower end of the range. What are the reasons? Mainly already that they've talked you through. I mean, we are seeing the truck market. The truck market in North America will be 25% lower as the year before. Our expectation, our budgets were based on the assumption minus 10 to minus 15%. So this is one point why we believe it will be at the lower end. The aftermarket in North America is lower due to the fact that a lot of new vehicles are in the market and that a relatively low number of vehicles are in the market from the 2008 and 2009 crisis, where only a small number of new vehicles went into the market, and they are now the vehicles which need significant numbers of spare parts, but it's unfortunately a low number of trucks and trailers out of these low years. So that's the aftermarket. We believe that this is a temporarily effect and that next year aftermarket in North America will become better. The third point is, and we have to mention this again, is Brazil, which is even lower than the last year and lower than our assumptions were. And Detlef said it already, no improvements in Russia and Australia. Last not least, positively, the trailer market in Europe is developing quite nice. And also in North America, we are able to gain market share to balance also here the slight negative market development in the trailer industry. So this gives us overall the situation why we believe that the sales will come in at the lower end of the range. When it now comes to the adjusted EBIT margin, we are showing here 8 to 9%. Compared to the strategy 2020, it should be minimum 8%, not saying that it is 8%, it can be even higher. Coming now to 2016, we believe here that we will end at the upper half of the range. And why? Because, I mean, it's positive regarding the cost situation. We are benefiting from the productivity from the plant consolidation and the restructuring we did so far in North America. And we have success in our purchasing starting beginning of this year. These effects will be sustainable and will give us a very positive position to increase market share, which will be then positively for our sales in 2017. Net working capital ratio 12 to 13% and the CapEx, as I said, 28 million. So that's it finally from my side, and regarding the presentation, I believe we are now open to questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 9 star on your telephone keypad. In case you want to cancel your question, press 9 star again. Please press 9 star now to state your questions. The first question comes from Sascha Gommel, Commerzbank. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning, gentlemen. Thank you for taking my questions. The first question I asked already a couple of times, now again, use of cash. We have a pretty high cash pile and also some revolving credit facilities. In such an interest rate environment, it's not, let's say, very efficient when we think about the balance sheet. So when do you put the money to work? And I mean, I guess it is probably M&A. Maybe you can update us here on your strategy. And the second question would be on your inventories. You mentioned the 22 million potential in general and the realistic target of 11 million for this year. I want to know first the basis. Are we talking about 11 million compared to end of Q4 or end of Q1? And the 22 million, could that then be the target for 2017? And then the last question would be on the aftermarket. I understand that the midterm outlook is much better given the very high sales figures of the last 2 years. But maybe you can also talk a little bit about the short-term outlook for the market. So should we assume that for the next quarters, top-line growth will be flat at best or might even be negative given the situation in the U.S.? Thank you very much.
Yeah, good morning, Mr. Gommel. I will ask. I will answer question number one, number three, regarding when we will put the money to work as soon as possible. And it's, of course, mainly planned for M&A activities, as we explained already when we talked about our strategy 2020. We have some targets on our radar screen, and we are working on that. So we will put the money to work when. That's too early to talk about for now, and but we will inform you as soon as there is something to talk about.
Can I just follow up on that topic?
Yeah, please.
Have you expected an earlier closing, or are there any problems, or are the price indications from the seller not as you wanted, or is it performing according to plan in terms of M&A strategy?
Mr. Gomez, this is Trevor speaking. Yes, you are all right. You are right in all points. Because it's always an opportunity-driven situation, and your remarks were quite reasonable, because it is, as you said, sometimes it's price, sometimes it's timing, sometimes it's a private person who has some interesting ideas about pricing situation. We have some delays, then we have new opportunities. So it's really a mixture of all what you have named.
Okay, thank you.
But in a nutshell, I would just to add here, there's not a big problem. That means there are targets available, really interesting targets, which fits very nicely to our strategy. We are working on that, and Wilfried said, it's not so easy, you know, and to spend the money wisely, and that's what we're going to do, we need to be 100% sure that we do the right step here. So, and I also would like to answer question number three about the aftermarket, the outlook. As I said already, this year it is difficult in North America, totally different situation in Europe. I'm very pleased with the European aftermarket development, although Russia is not so nice, but also in Russia we make money on the aftermarket because the customers need to repair, the fleet need to repair, although they don't buy new trucks and trailers. But North America is challenging. The only good news is we are absolutely in line with the market, so we don't lose aftermarket at all. I had a long meeting last week with all our aftermarket guys in Shanghai, and we talked about it in detail, especially the North American situation. And so it's a market, it's not us. We have a lot of countermeasures in place now, and we will be better until end of the year, but for now it is not that pleasant as we thought it might be.
Okay.
Yeah, coming to your second question regarding the inventory, yes, it's the total potential is 22 million. It's calculated on the basis of the numbers of Q1 2016, which you see here in the presentation. And it is the potential 11 million to come during this year. So yes, another 11 million is then the potential, depending on the sales development, of course, but based on our today's numbers, we have another 11 million to come then next year, 2017.
All right, very clear. Thank you very much.
Come.
The next question comes from Gerhard Orgonas, Exana. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, hello, it's Gerhard Orgonas from Exana. I've got three questions, please. The first one is on US Class 8. So can you tell us, the orders were down significantly. What was the production in Q1, and was your production in the US also down in line with the market, so minus 25% or so in this specific part of your business? Or is this something where Q1 was still, production was still right and can get worse incrementally in the coming quarters? That's question number one. Secondly, the 170 basis points gross margin improvement, do you think that you can keep this for the full year? And the third question is in terms of EBIT margin, adjusted EBIT margin, are you stepping up the investments to grow in the next three quarters? So should we expect the margin profile to inverse, probably down year on year, or was Q1 already a run rate that you would expect also in the next coming quarters?
Okay, Mr. Gunners, this is definitely a forecast. Class 8 production numbers, I don't have them in front of me, to be honest. But our production was, according to the market, pretty much the same, also down like that. That was, as we already said, in the last quarter last year, that was foreseeable. We are in contact with all our customers, especially the big OEs, very, very closely. So we knew that what was coming, and according to that, we also reduced our cost. It means we lay off people, we reduced number of shifts, etc. And you saw that in the numbers. You see that in the numbers. Although the market was so much down, our profitability was good. It means we reacted very fast, and I would say just the right way. Our production was lower, especially in our Muskegon plant and in our Whitey plant where we do the fifth wheels, but in all the plants like Warrington where we do the trailer axles and suspensions, we worked I would say, pretty high level, and so that means some of the losses in the truck OE market be compensated by better trailer products and better trailer market. Regarding the
Can I just follow up on a monthly basis? Maybe is this now flat in March, April? Has this now flatted out at this level, bottomed out?
Yes. Yeah. As I said, we saw that as an overreaction, and we see the orders coming in now for the next couple of months. But again, on the truck side, our visibility is very short. Okay, it's one to 2 weeks. Some of the orders we get today and they need to deliver tomorrow, so the outlook is a little bit difficult, but we don't see further reduction.
Okay,
when it comes to your second question regarding the gross profit development, yes, it was positive, of course, in the first couple of months. And we talked about the increasing productivity as well as good results in purchasing. And I said, and this is already a combination with question three regarding the adjusted EBIT, because it's relating to this question. We have a positive development, yes, on the one hand side. On the other hand side, we are intending also to take this, let's say, cost advantage to increase market shares. When it comes to new contracts in the future, it will not significantly improve sales immediately. It is a medium-term target here. And so, there will be a better gross profit development, but a part of this will be invested into the future. And this is then also something which leads to question three. We are better 40 bips now, but you have heard that the top line is today not what it should be. So from the volume situation, we have still some question marks here. And on the other hand side, we are going to increase our overhead costs as we started in the first 3 months. And when you look to the EBIT development in China and APEC, this is not only due to the fact that we have had in COPCO some issues regarding sales because of rescheduling in the order process. It's also increasing our overhead costs there, and this leads to lower adjusted EBIT margins during the year. But anyhow, I believe that I gave you already a good indication when I talked about the outlook, that we said that we would end up at the higher part of the second half if you look to the range of 8 to 9%.
Right, thanks very much.
The next question comes from Christian Ludwig, Bankhaus Lampe. Please go ahead with your question.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Also, three questions from my side. First of all, maybe you could give us a little bit of insight. Now you've got, I think, 4 months of the new regional structure behind you. You've worked in the new structure. Are there any key takeaways that you could share with us or willing to share with us what this change of the organization has done to SAF and what the benefits are going to be going forward? And then two follow-up questions more on the technical side. Restructuring cost was fairly low in Q1. Is this a good run rate for the full year? And last question, in Q1, was there any military business already included in the NAFTA sales, or is this something that will come during the rest of the year? Thank you.
Yeah, Mr. Ludwig, good morning. I start with your last question, military, only very little. Okay, military was very little. This is to come. But overall, as we said already, don't overestimate the orders we have on hand, especially for the from Oshkosh. This is not big business. Okay, that helps, but sales as helps margin wise, but sales wise is not a big influence. But again, this is mostly to come.
I've got 10 million factored in for yes. This year. Is this still the right figure?
Overall, roughly, yeah.
Okay, good. Thanks.
Yeah. Regarding some insights after our reorganization of the company in the from business units to the regions, key takeaways, I would say, one is definitely what I hear from my guys is they visit much more customers than they ever did before. That means our key people, especially the presidents and vice president level, These ladies and gentlemen have now more time to spend with regional customers than sitting in an airplane and traveling around the world. And we see that in a much better communication with customers. And so this, we will see the benefit pretty soon. So this higher, touch points, more touch points with customers, local customers. Another thing is that regarding our R&D projects, we are able now to see some of the projects on a regional basis, some of the projects which have a global impact on the COO organization. So also that helps to concentrate our people, our local engineers, to work on their projects in their regions and not spending time with something which they might never sell in their region, but which we probably is important globally. So also a nice concentration on that. And then last but not least, regarding sourcing, Wilfried Tripp has talked about that already. We have now a global sourcing team in place, and we see first already some results out of that, which is really early. I didn't expect that we see benefits out of that so soon, but this is, again, one of the other takeaways or key takeaways. Overall, from my point of view, I'm very pleased with the implementation of the new structure, and people are happy with that. And so I would say that was the right step to do.
Yeah, coming to your second question about the research and development cost, it is 6 million this year, including the capitalized costs, compared to 5.9 million last year, so a slight increase. The rate is 2.3 to 2.2%. Yes, we have capitalized around about 400,000 more, 0.9 compared to 0.5 last year. Question, what will be the run rate? I believe it will run on the same level as it does now until September. Why? Because we are working heavily that projects come through with respect to the IIA. So it might be that in the last quarter the capitalization would be slightly lower than it is today. But overall, I would say we can go ahead with this development, which we have seen in the first quarter.
That was also very interesting, but I was actually asking for the restructuring cost, the difference between adjusted EBIT and EBIT.
Oh, sorry, I didn't get you. The restructuring costs are at, I would say, at a normal level. We have been talking about a further kind of plant consolidation. We are working on that. The numbers are not yet there. We have to discuss this internally, and we will get a presentation about it in summer, so that we then probably will start a further step in our plant consolidation. And as far as I do not have this available, I'm not able to give you more precise answer to that. I believe that when we are going to present Q2, that we then have very clearly these numbers on the table. My personal impression is that it will probably more effect next year. It will depend on the measures. You know, if it would be necessary to discuss severance payments, then of course it could impact this year. But if not, then we would see mainly the cost next year. So more to come, more precise answer to your question in Q2.
Okay, thank you. Very clear.
The next question comes from Tim Rockhofer, Deutsche Bank. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, thank you very much. It's Tim Rockhofer from Deutsche Bank. I would also have four questions. The first one is just to come back on Class 8. I know it's not too big for you, but it's certainly very important for your stock price. The comparison base is obviously falling substantially from now onwards. I think April was down 7% last year, and in May is already down 22% or something. You're now saying it's not falling any longer. Does this mean in absolute terms or in relative terms? Or in other words, are your customers telling you that their customers are actually coming back to the dealers and we might even see some improving numbers going forward? Or does it really just stabilize around minus 40% or so, which doesn't really sound too inspiring to me? Then the second question is in your working capital improvements. Mr. Triples, that obviously looks quite well. We were talking about this for a couple of quarters now. Is this largely reflecting the plant restructuring you have now almost finalized, at least in Germany? And is there a bit more room for improvements, or will it at least remain around this level, or can we expect that the ratio goes up again? Then on the U.S. margins, which looked quite pleasing despite the strong fall, is that largely reflecting the cost cuts you talked about, or doesn't also simply the mix factor play a role here, which meaning that your lower margin Class 8 products are falling substantially and the rest is then simply looking better from a profitability perspective? And lastly, I know your answer will probably, you don't want to give a 2017 guidance or anything, but I'll try it anyway, Mr. Borkat. When we think about next year, and we now see lower growth than probably in Europe after another very strong year this year, the U.S. market, most expert at least, would tell you that you don't really shouldn't expect too much growth for next year. Where's really the growth coming from? Would you expect some sort of recovery in the emerging markets in Russia and Brazil? Or what do you think about for considering your midterm target for next year? Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Rigosa, nice try, of course. But let me talk about that last point, question number three, a little bit, 2017. So the outlook for Europe for 2017 is good, according to the numbers which are available regarding trucks and also trailers. So I see, again, we are now in May 2016. It's a little bit too early to talk about 2017, but the overall outlook for Europe is positive, even though we might see a very good year this year. There's no reason why that should not continue in 2017. And then we have these potential markets, what we talked about already. What is with Russia? What is with the rest of Eastern Europe? I don't know. But I personally, I believe the Russian truck and trailer market cannot survive, let's say, 3-4 years in a row without investments. So there is something to come, whenever that will come. Then, of course, and I talked about the Iranian situation already, this is a big market, 25 years sanctions. This market is ready to go, and I was in Iran now 2 times personally, so I talked to customers, etc. This is a nice potential, and I personally believe it will come next year. So that's another growth potential. To be prepared for that, we do 2 things right now. We might go in a 3-shift production in plant number 1 from September on this year, and we are considering right now to open a new factory somewhere in the Middle East or Turkey region. We would not do that if we would not see the necessity to increase capacity. Maybe that answers your question a little bit in this regards. Regarding North America, okay, if the market will really fall down, and that relates already a little bit to your question number 1, how much will the market decrease? If it is really 25% less than last year, or maybe 30%, some people are talking about already 30%, this is then a quite heavily drop compared to 2015, then the further down in 2017 will be not that much anymore. Because if you look back to the numbers from ACT and FTR, which they published last year, they talked a decline of 10-12% 2016 and another, I don't have it in mind, but I believe another 8-10% in 2017. So in total 20-25%. If that all will happen this year, then 2017 will be not that bad, or maybe we see then a flat development. But depends a lot on the oil price. Don't forget that. That depends on the industry, cracking, fracking, etc. All this business is not there today. And then overall, the growth for 2017, of course, we said the new strategy 2020 is about growth in emerging and emerged markets, which is China, which is Middle East, which is Asia-Pacific, Central America, and South America. And Brazil, just to finish that, also, Brazil will come back. This year, no, I said that. We don't see that, not at all. But next year, personally, I believe there's a high chance the market will come back if the political situation in Brazil will be, let's say, clear until then. And I believe it will be pretty clear in the second half of this year. So there's growth to come. And so in the overall market, I would say markets will help. And China, by the way, we also, I'm just coming back from China, not only Australia, also was in China. This year is not that great, but there are a lot of projects to come, and our market share in China will grow. So also I see some nice growth potential over there. And so last but not least, question number one, Class 8. What we hear from customers, it will not fall down any further. As I said, it's leveled out now. Order intake is pretty stable now, again on a low level. So, and the overall outlook as we see, and I would just say we can follow then ACT and FTR, it might be in minus 25% on the truck side. But again, and you said it in your first sentence, this is not our biggest business. Okay, and if the Class 8 truck production is rising, then our overall mix in customers and product mix is not the best, because these are fifth wheels with a low margin, it's only volume related. So if the other products will improve, that's mainly air suspensions and some military orders, then that will also help us a lot on the profitability side, as you saw already in the Q1 numbers. Does it answer your question?
Yep, it does pretty much. Just on the working capital maybe, and then one follow-up on what you just said on Iran. I find it incredibly difficult to really get reliable data there for what the market could be like for trailers. Is that any different for you if you're now building a factory because you believe in so much demand over there? Hopefully you have some more insights.
We have some more insights, but I'm not prepared to share them.
Okay, fine. But it's a relatively big market. It's not something we talk about, maybe 10 million revenues or something in 2 years. It's actually sizable.
I would say it's a little bit nicer, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, thank you.
Coming to your second question regarding the net working capital, as I said, yeah, there is potential, especially in inventories, there is potential. But I believe that it will remain at 12%, as we said in our outlook, 12 to 13%. And why? Because, in nowadays, China APEC will grow, and if we will grow there and Middle East, there is a lot of growth expected that they gave you already just an impression about it. And if this happens, the accounts receivables will go up, because the payment terms in these regions are significantly better for our customers than they are for us when we compare it to Europe or to North America. So I personally believe that with the change, with the expected change in the structure of sales, also the accounts receivables will go up. So that at least the inventory reduction will, on the other hand side, balance the accounts receivables, which will go up. And so overall, it can remain at 12%, I would say.
Makes sense. Thank you very much.
The next question comes from Holger Schmidt, Equinet. Please go ahead with your question.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. A couple of questions here. The first question is on the North American market. You mentioned share gains there in the trailer market. Would you be willing to quantify that? Secondly, we briefly touched the potential consolidation in the U.S. plant landscape. Would you also take into account to close down complete plants? And the third question is market share gains in Europe on the back of your improved cross margin. You seem to intend to gain your market share. Is this across your product portfolio, or do you only intend to gain market share for specific product lines?
Okay, Mr. Schmidt, I try to answer your questions. Regarding the share gains, we are not going to talk about that, because if we do it, then only when official numbers are available, which is not the case right now. So I will not going to share that right now, but we will do that for sure. Regarding the potential consolidation, that's too early to talk about it right now. We'll accept that. We will get a presentation summer this year from the North American colleagues, and then we will see what is the potential, what does it mean, and how far can we go there. So again, this is a little bit too early to talk about. We need to wait for, I believe the meeting is in July or something like that. Yeah? So, and then we see if we come then to a decision what to do regarding the plant consolidation. But something will happen, okay, that is very clear, after we closed already the Norwich plant in Canada end of last year. And regarding the question number three, the market share gains in Europe, what we are going to do, this is across all product lines, especially on the trailer side. So axles, suspensions, kingpins, landing gears, these are the major products where we are going to, yeah, which is our plan to do so. Because we can sell this basket of products to our customers, especially here in this case for the OEs. And so this combination is a very helpful tool to convince our customers to buy all the products they need from us.
Okay.
Does it answer your question?
That answers my questions, but don't you fear that you induce a kind of a price war?
Oh, we're not talking about only price. It's more also, let's say, talking about features and benefits. And price is always an issue. Was always an issue for the last 22 decades, and it will be an issue for the next two decades. So it's always a mixture of product, as I said, feature and benefits, end user approach, and of course pricing.
Okay, thank you.
Yes.
The next question comes from Adi Roberts, City Financial Investment. Please go ahead with your question.
Thank you. Now you mentioned earlier that in terms of use of cash, your main priority is M&A, and you have some targets. You have some targets in mind. I just wondered whether or not you, you know, share buybacks might be something you might, you know, might be on the table, or something which it's not on the table at all.
No, it's not on the table. Very simple answer.
Okay.
Okay, good.
There are no further questions left. If you would like to ask a question, please press 9-star on your telephone keypad.
So thank you for attending today's conference call. And if you got any follow-up questions, please give us a call in the IR department. Otherwise, we see each other again in early August. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Auf Wiedersehen.